From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Thank you, Gail Straker, for supporting me and this podcast by making a pledge at my Patreon page. Do you want to hear your name here at the top of the show? Are you enjoying this podcast and would like to help me make more episodes? Then head over to my Patreon page at patreon.com/ketowoman or hit the support button on the Keto Woman podcast website. It means a great deal to me and you will get to headline the show just like Gail did today. Welcome to episode number 150, where I am joined by Kevin Boning, Amy Hangman Boning and Brandy Morris. You may remember Brandy from her episode a while back. If you haven't listened already, go check it out. It's episode number 122. She recently wrote an article on her blog, metabolizethis.com, about her cousins, Amy and Kevin. And me being me, of course, immediately asked if she thought they would fancy coming on the podcast to share their story. Obviously, they said yes. And a big thanks goes to Brandy for organising their recording setup and finding a time that worked for all of us, which is no mean feat when we are also spread out time zone wise. Poor old Brandy drew the short straw and ended up recording very late at night. So thanks, Brandy, for all the effort you put in and for co-hosting this double episode. A little bit first about Amy and Kevin. Amy and Kevin live on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. This self-described foodie couple have been married since 2002, and they've enjoyed sharing in food celebration with their Ohana, family, and friends in what is arguably one of the most, oh no, delicious places to eat in the world. But after years of incremental weight gain, an injury or two, and finally a potential diabetes diagnosis for Kevin, and a mysterious lung infection for Amy, they decided to adopt the ketogenic dietary model. Since January of 2020, Amy and Kevin have improved their health exponentially. Kevin is no longer at risk of diabetes, has regulated his blood pressure, and improved his sleep apnea. Keto has helped Amy heal from that illness, and she has regained her ability to be as physically active as she wants to be. And in just over 7 months, Kevin and Amy have lost a combined total of over 120 pounds. The couple has started a Facebook group to help support other folks in making this life-saving switch to dietary lifestyle with a focus on Hawaii-centric local flavors and food tradition. Their Keto Canuck Attack group had over 200 members within a week of its creation and is growing daily. Brandy and I have become really good friends over the last few months, so it was wonderful to rope her in as co-host on these two episodes. She is a great writer, so make sure to check out her blog, metabolizethis.com. And I hope you enjoy this taste of Hawaii as much as I enjoyed recording it. Aloha. Welcome, Amy, Kevin, and Brandy to the Keto Woman podcast. How are you all doing today?
Doing well.
We're doing great.
Doing great.
Aloha.
Aloha from Hawaii. Thank you for having us.
Well, that's given the listeners a bit of a clue of our time zone stretching today. Hawaii actually is the opposite side of the globe to me. We're 12 hours apart, and then Brandy's somewhere in the middle.
That's right.
Today's going to be a little bit different. I've roped Brandy in as co-host. She'll explain in a minute how she knows our guests, but I thought it would be really interesting to share their story, but also to share the general concept of paying keto forward and how best to navigate that and how it works out, you know, what problems potentially you come across. I'm sure there are listeners out there who've tried to share keto with other people. I certainly, whenever anyone mentions any kind of health problem they have, my first reaction is, keto would help with that. You can start sounding a bit like a broken record. So sometimes I bet there are some strategies that you have with how best to get that message across. So I thought that would be interesting too. But I'm going to hand over to Brandy now to introduce our two wonderful guests and how you know each other.
Yeah, hi. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Kevin and Amy are my cousins over on the island of Oahu in the state of Hawaii. Kevin is actually the first cousin of my husband, John. Their moms were sisters and best friends. They raised their children together in a big ohana or family. So these cousins grew up, as is typical in Hawaii, as close friends and comrades and troublemakers.
In arms, yes.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And Amy is Kevin's wife. I think you guys can tell this, your meeting story, but I think you guys were, 2005? Is that right?
2001. We met.
2001. Oh, pardon me.
2001, correct.
But we'd actually been introduced many, many times over the years. It was 2001 where we finally said, okay, let's date.
That's great.
So either it was a very cosmic meeting that we were destined to be together, or she stalked me for many years. So I'd like to think it was a cosmic thing. We were meant to be together.
Yes. So when I met my husband, John, I guess it was 13 years ago now, we brought each other into one another's families, and I got to meet Kevin and Amy for the first time over in Honolulu. And it's just, you know, gone on from there. We've been family. Kevin and Amy came to visit us last fall for, they were coming into town for a concert, into Seattle for a concert, and they came and stayed at our house, the two of them with Amy's sister, Stephanie, and her son, who was stationed over here.
Jacob, correct.
Jacob in the military, right.
Yes.
So we all got kind of reunited. And at that time, I had been ketogenic for almost 2 years. It had been like a year and 8 months or something like that. And they noticed a change in me, obviously. It was almost 100-pound weight loss.
Oh, wow.
And various other resolutions of different health conditions that were related to a poorly functioning metabolism. So we ate good food and we talked good story. And they went home to Honolulu and got back into the swing of life and didn't really think much more about it until as I said in my article, things got a little more complicated. Firstly, for Kevin, in terms of his metabolic health.
Yes.
And he swung back around to keto. Yeah. So they had started following me earlier and asking me questions. They always showed great interest, but they really took the ball and ran with it when it came time for their own kind of journey to start. And, you know, and they've been extraordinarily motivated. And I won't tell any more of your side of the story, guys, than that.
It's interesting, isn't it, how you can often introduce keto to somebody, especially if you do it quite subtly with just giving them a great meal.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly what happened.
I have friends who eat hair often, and I always feed them keto, and they always just think it's delicious food. There's nothing outrageous about it. But having that discussion, and for you to have seen the great positive impact that it had on Brandy, but you don't necessarily think about applying it immediately to your own lives, but it's just, it's planting that seed, isn't it?
That's exactly what happened.
You know what benefits it could have, and then something comes along in your life that makes you put the pieces together.
Exactly.
All four of us that were at her house in October have all changed our diets.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
All four of us. My sister actually started as her resolution for the new year. And so she started in January. And then Kevin starts. And then I started. And my nephew also has changed his diet.
Brilliant.
So just going back back in time a little bit. So I first met my wife. And as you said, we started dating in 2001. One thing I guess I told her when we first started dating was be prepared to gain some weight. I don't really remember that part, but my wife says it's true. So I'm going with that. But we weren't really that heavy when we first got married in October of 2002. But unfortunately, I was smoking cigarettes back then. And the sad thing is my wife really wasn't smoking, but, you know, just being around a smoker, then she ended up starting to smoke too. In 2008, we just had enough of cigarettes. So it took us a couple of times, but we quit cold turkey. A big reason why I wanted to quit was because I was the one buying the cigarettes for both of us. So it was, you know, expensive and just a nasty smelling, nasty habit that we picked up. So, of course, when we quit smoking, then your senses just get so much better and the food tastes so much better. And I guess, you know, we just ended up supplanting that possible unconscious oral fixation. And we just started eating more and just enjoying each other, enjoying life. But unfortunately, we started picking up some weight together. And it just got a little bit more and more here and there, a couple pounds here and there. But then something happened as we, like I said, after we quit smoking in 2008, where my wife got in an issue that caused her to gain a lot of weight. Honey, you want to speak about that?
Well, one of our big problems is that we both work. And so when we both work and there's not time, fast food is really simple, easy. And so when life takes over, trying to manage working full-time jobs, it was going to the easy stuff. And then I have some back issues and I have some foot issues. And so getting around was a lot harder. Also, we did in vitro, and doing all the hormones really changed my body at that point. I did a lot of hormones. We did several rounds. And so that really caused me to gain a lot of weight on that portion and change my health completely.
And stressful. Very, very stressful too.
So
people
stressful.
Underestimate the impact of stress.
Not only were we doing that, we were doing home hospice for both of our mothers.
Wow.
Taking care with terminal illness for both mothers at that time for about 5 years. And so that moment in our life, everything just
kind of fell apart there.
Took over. And we didn't take care of ourselves. We were too busy taking care of everybody else. And so that snowballed to a point that we had gained, both of us, 100 pounds from our marriage. And it was just a slow gain, but it happened. And then when I injured my foot, I fractured my heel and I couldn't get around.
Right.
I gained a lot of weight just because I couldn't exercise and I couldn't move. So it was just like everything kind of gets there. And then I found myself at the beginning of this year when I became really ill in December with a lung infection. I just couldn't recover. Mm-hmm. I think that was my issue there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that, because you haven't had it diagnosed as COVID, have you? But you suspect.
We definitely do.
That is what the problem is.
When I got sick, I got sick in December and I had a fever for 8 days. And originally they thought I had the flu. And they said, when your fever goes away in a couple of days, keep on monitoring your fever, then I could go back to work. And the fever just never went away. And by the end of those 8 days, I got to a point where I couldn't even breathe. And so then they thought I had pneumonia. And so then we did lung x-rays and we did antibiotics and they tried all kinds of treatments, and within 3 weeks, I lost 18 pounds. Now, a lot of that's water weight, who know, but it was severe to a point where I couldn't even leave the house.
You're really sick.
And then I started to recover in January. I went back to school to work, and then I crashed again, and it was even more severe. And at that point, I had come into contact with somebody who had come back from China, from the area where they had the outbreak, and that person was hospitalized for a month, but this is way before testing. It was
way before what we knew
what was going on. So the doctors did all kinds of things. They thought I was in heart failure at one point because I had all the symptoms for it, and they did tests. They did an MRI of my lungs. I had crashed 3 times from the illness. By the time I got to January, we were just trying to figure, I couldn't even walk to the kitchen. It was so bad. I was out of breath, and they had found I had scarring in my bronchial tubes and all kinds of stuff. And I was on steroids. I did 3 rounds of antibiotics, even a pneumonia antibiotic, and didn't even kick it. It's taken me 6 months. I still have a cough that's not going away. I'll be on medication for a long time. And by the time we did the COVID test, it was way beyond when I was sick. By the time we did the antibody test, it was beyond when they see people keep antibodies. And so we'll just never know what I had. Me and one other teacher had the exact same thing. She still hasn't recovered and she's not returning to work.
She's not doing well at all. I'm glad, I'm sad that, she's as bad as she is. But when I just recently met that other teacher, she looks so drained and she has the same cough too. But
she's 10 years younger than me and she doesn't weigh anything like I do. She started treatment. She changed to my doctor a month after I did, but she started her treatments a lot later. And so she still hasn't even recovered. So I am really lucky that I'm functioning. I don't have the same health I did before, but it's hard. That's probably, I can say I lucked out because Kevin had decided to go on keto and I decided to go with him and I was losing weight and gaining my health as I didn't have health. I wasn't losing weight like he was losing weight. I was still staying the same. I was like, this is not working for me. And my sister works in a pharmacy and she goes, you're taking these steroids. Those cause you to gain weight severely and bloat, and said, you're not gaining anything. So that tells you something. And so when I stopped taking a steroid, it was like, boom, like those 30 pounds were gone, like really quickly, because I was maintaining so much water. But I didn't know that those medications were causing part of the issue. And so now I'm still taking medications. So losing weight on keto is not easy. However, I'm able to walk 3 miles, which I wasn't able to do before.
That's so awesome.
That was part of being on a diet, eating healthy, taking the vitamins and supplements that go along with it. And so I credit that for helping me regain my health.
Mm-hmm. And as far as weight loss goes, effectively you are. If you're taking medication that would normally cause you to gain weight and you're not gaining weight, then, effectively you are losing weight. Do you see what I mean?
But I didn't know that at the time. That was the thing because I didn't know what the side effects were. And it was just, so doing keto while I was so ill was frustrating, but it was helping me. And so I didn't give up because most people would have said, it's not working and I'm done. Mm. But I was watching it work with Kevin. And I was like, well, if it's working for him at some point,
it will work for you.
And I do have to accept it works different for women than it does for men. But I stuck with it. And months later, it paid off.
And of course, this is where the definition of working comes in, because obviously this is circumspection, but it probably was working for you in the most important way it could be working for you, which was not weight loss at the time.
Correct.
It was health.
Getting you as healthy as possible to fight something that could potentially have killed you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely right. Amy and I have talked a little bit about it before. But when we are metabolically ill, our bodies just do not have the capability to fight infection and disease and to be resilient. Our immune systems become repressed. That's why people who are obese or diabetic or insulin resistant, they are considered to have higher comorbidity rates with things such as COVID, because they just cannot, the body cannot resist the ravages of viruses when we're metabolically ill.
Right.
So Amy, you shared with me earlier that you really feel like maybe switching to keto at the time that you did pulled you through and maybe even saved you.
Yeah. Because like I said, I couldn't even walk to the kitchen and my lungs were just shot. I just couldn't fight off the infections that were there. I took multiple antibiotics for those. It just, nothing was working at that point. And so it was trying to rebuild my lungs, trying to rebuild all the vitamins, like putting in vitamin D and vitamin C and everything in there, just things that I didn't get through my fast food meals, through the regular meals I was eating. And so just a total change of diet, and it was a total change of diet from what I was eating, really helped me move forward.
And I know you started slightly later than Kevin. When I read in Brandy's article, it really resonated with me because I'm the same. If I've bought a load of food, I'm not going to waste that.
That was so hard.
I know Brandy said you just got out and spent a load of money on groceries, which by all accounts in Hawaii is even more money than anywhere else in the entire world. So you spent a lot of money on these, had these groceries in stock, and Kevin suddenly decides he's going to start keto. And you're like, well, I'm not going to waste this food. And I remember when I read that, I thought, yeah, I'd have been the same.
Literally $700. Because I was sick for so long before that. So I finally started feeling better. And then he said, I am going to start today. And I'm like, I just restocked the kitchen completely. And it was stuff that we normally eat. And it wasn't things that he needed to eat. And then he was like, well, I'll just eat hamburgers with bacon and I'll be good.
And I'm cheese. Like,
and I'm like, no, you're not. That's not. So then, from within days, I had to actually start reading because I knew nothing about it. Brandy had talked about it. I went on to her her post and looked through them because she had a lot of great things that were inside there. Because where do you start? I mean, it's not like you go to the store and get a book and immediately start. I had to go start somewhere. And I went with the person I trusted who told me about it, who knew food that my husband was going to like. Because I thought if I just cooked for him, if that's what he needed to do because so he wouldn't be diabetic and so he wouldn't have a high blood pressure, then that's what I was going to do. And so I just started off with some basic recipes that I saw that matched what he liked to eat. I had to do some more shopping, by the way. And I was like, but then, and what I did find was that I was gaining weight while he was losing weight in those first couple weeks. And I was getting sicker and sicker. And I said, well, I got to make the change, and I did.
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit, Kevin, in your story and tell us what precipitated that change for you.
Okay. So on my side, as Brandy pointed out, yes, you know, we had an awesome vacation and we spent some time with her and stayed with them back in October, but came back to Hawaii, went back to work, back to our lives. In January, I had my birthday, and I'm a ripe young age of 54, and usually it always happens on Martin Luther King holiday, so I spend like 3 days drinking and eating whatever I want. But unfortunately, at this point, I ended up doing a blood test, a typical annual physical, and the day after my birthday, on the 19th, I got an email from my doctor. In that email, the doctor said that, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but your A1C level was 6.5, and that was the highest I've ever had it. And he said, I will need for you to come back in 1 month, and if your A1C is 6.5 or higher, then I will have to declare you a type 2 diabetic. So that was a big wake up for me. Kind of freaked out a little bit, a lot of stress on that point. I really know that a lot of Hawaiians, unfortunately, with the diets in Hawaii, they are very prone to being diabetic. I lost my biological father due to a heart attack several years earlier. And he picked up a lot of weight too, same body build, but yeah, he had a triple heart bypass before and then passed away from a heart attack. So I was thinking all of the, you know, this is the worst thoughts. But I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason. And it just popped into my mind that when we went to stay with Brandy, she looked so awesome. And she started telling me about keto. And the biggest thing that she told me was that, you know, a lot of Hawaiian food is keto. And I'm like, what? And she said, yes, Lau Lau's keto. You know, Pipi Kal is keto. All your poke is keto. Even Lomi Salmon's keto. Kalua Pig and cabbage is another favorite staple there too. And that just like stuck in my head. And for whatever reason, like I said, I'm a firm believer of, you know, things happen for a reason. It just popped into my head. I was like, you know, I remembered reading a little bit about it. And I heard that the keto diet was also, you know, very popular. And I think maybe initially started to prevent diabetes in some people. So I did some minimal research. I didn't know, you know, what to do. I just, you know, found out that, you know, the keep up with the macros of the 75, 5, and 20, as well as the different food groups that are keto. And supposedly, according to my wife, I came out to her on the 20th and said, I'm starting keto today. So I did. Did a lot of research, checked out a lot of my cousin's awesome blogs, did as much of the info gathering I could, and I went on keto. I think maybe it was actually a little bit after the 20th, but I just started, you know, strictly going on a diet. And lo and behold, 1 month later, I believe I had lost about 21 pounds, and I went back to get my blood work done. The first part of it, they also wanted me to do my blood pressure. Usually my blood pressure ran really high to the point of where I'd have to like take the first reading, wait a little while, calm down, think happy thoughts, second reading, and then try to get the third reading. And that third reading would be still high. So I am on medication for high blood pressure. But when I did that blood pressure test, that was the first time that the nurse said, oh, you're good to go. I forget exactly what the number was, but that was the first time, you know, that I actually had the first test and it was good to go. So I went to do the blood test, and then I got an email from my doctor a couple of days later, and he wasn't as happy as I was, but he just basically said in the email, you know, great job. Your A1C has dropped to 6.0. Wow. We'll need you to come back in when you can to just do follow-up tests. And at that point, I was so relieved. I did so much praying from that point on, you know, from before then, just to make sure everything would do good. And I just decided to stick with it. I've actually, you know, once you get into ketosis, the best thing is just to stay with it. And so I set goals for myself. The first goal, of course, was to beat diabetes. And thank goodness I did that. And then the second goal, I was 280 pounds at the time, you know. I picked up a lot of weight. I'm only like a 5'9 and maybe a half. I've been declared obese, maybe severely obese. But so my first goal, I was just trying to drop from 280 to 200. But as it got, I went on through it, it kind of started falling off, you know, fast. And it was something I could do. It was something I could stick to. It was something that had my favorite foods. Thank you so much for reminding me of that, Cousin Brandy. So I've just been sticking with it. And I started about January 22nd. And my starting weight was 280 pounds. And as of this morning, I'm 209 pounds. So fantastic. I'm trying to get to... It was 200, but I'm going to try to see if I can get to that 180-pound mark. But yeah, Randy's right. I've always been a foodie. So in Hawaii, the Hawaiian blood, they call us a kanaka maoli. That's what it's called. And then in Hawaii, you eat these big plate lunches with all this rice and, you know, like two portions of your proteins, and then like usually macaroni salad, and usually you eat something like that, poi and everything, right?
Yeah.
And then when you eat something that huge for lunch, then you, what they call, you have a kanaka attack, which is basically you start falling asleep or you're trying to do something on the computer and the computer starts watching you. So so I was always posting my food pics because I'd always like to go out and eat at all the different places that where I used to work. You you know, and I post food pics and people liked it because I went to a lot of like, you know, smaller mom and pop shops and local food places supporting our local businesses. And I was always posting these Kanakadak pictures, you know, and my wife said, oh, I should start a blog on it. But I'm like, no, I just, you know, I'm just the chubby Hawaiian that likes to eat his food. But then when I started the keto, then I changed all my Kanakadak pictures to keto Kanakadak pictures. And it was just more healthy food pictures. You know, I'd go to L&L and I'd have like a garlic ahi plate, but instead of the rice and mac salad, I'd get all toss salad with ranch dressing and you know, like a sobe yum berry drink. Or I'd go to Wendy's, love that double baconator, but this time we did it without the buns and, you know, no ketchup. And people actually were still liking it. So yeah, I've just been very blessed, you know, that found something that I could do and stick to and maintain and yet still eat all the food I love to eat. But honestly, I got to give all the props to not only Brandy, who was my inspiration and saved me from having diabetes and giving me my health back. Thank you, guys. Love you. But also my wife. My wife learned how to cook some of the most awesome tasting meals and remove all the sugars and the nasty, you know, chemicals from it. And basically, I'm a smart guy. I just, you know, do what my wife tells me to. But it's basically she's the one who has been feeding me well. And then I've recently just switched jobs. So I can't go out and go to lunches now anymore like how I used to. I only have like a half hour for lunch. So I actually just started bringing my lunches to work. So a lot of my keto Kanakadak pictures that I'm posting nowadays are awesome dinners that my wifey has taken upon herself to make and create for us. So love you, honey. Thank you so much for keeping me going.
Love you too.
You're my awesome awesomeness. So anyway, that's my story. But yeah, I'm just the proof that it works. Really, it's Amy and Brandy. You ladies rock my world. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, you're all foodies, and you've mentioned some dishes that some of the names that are familiar to me, but I can't picture them. Perhaps you could tell us about a few of those dishes that excited you so much when Brandy listed off, you know, that a lot of your favorite dishes were either keto already or were easy to keto-fy. Everyone likes hearing about delicious food.
Oh,
so maybe you could all share some of those things with us, because it sounds, well, to me anyway, I'm my mouth's already watering and I'm thinking, these might be some things that I might like to try.
Go, ladies. You guys know what I love. Yeah. So
let's talk about Kalua pig.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes.
Kalua pig and cabbage. That's yes. A main staple in Hawaii.
That's right. So Kalua pig or Kalua pork is, it's a whole pig that's roasted in the ground. It's typically done with tea leaves and banana leaves. Maybe they throw a couple turkeys in there. And it's done with lots of good Hawaiian sea salt and not much else. And it's done for many, many hours. Originally, it is Hawaiian food, but was not a part of the general population's daily diet ancestrally. It was an alii or royalty or specialty food. It was a...
I was going to say, it sounds like a sort of
it was a celebration
type.
Food. Mm. Yeah, it was a celebration food. Yeah, that's right. But has since, you know, been adopted more widely, especially since the advent of ovens and smokers and instant pots, things like that, because you can make Kalua pig or Kalua pork with a cut of pork butt or pork shoulder. Mm. Some people call it pork shoulder, and some Hawaiian sea salt and some liquid smoke. And there are recipes for it. They're a little more complicated than that. I personally like to keep it that simple. It's just delicious.
Very true.
And it is, you know, when you're doing it in the oven or in your Instant Pot or in your smoker, it is, you know, that pork butt. You don't trim it down because that fatty goodness is fatty goodness. It is delicious. And typically, it's normal in Hawaii to eat Kalua pig and everything else with a huge pile of rice. And sometimes you can throw an egg on it, and we make Kalua pig and cabbage mokos.
Yes.
Here at the house.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's always with rice. It's typically if you get it plate lunch style, which, Daisy, that means you can go to these, what you would think of as like diners, and you can get plate lunch, which you can choose a variety of meats and entrees and a variety of sides. But those will have a pile of rice and a pile of macaroni salad with a lot of mayo. Yeah, and sometimes mac potato salad. So, I mean, they just carb you out. And then lot of times they want to pour gravy over the top of the whole mess.
Gravy over everything, girl.
It's delicious.
It was, yeah, but I'm okay without
it's
it.
Yeah, but it is. It's a metabolic travesty is what it is.
That's a good way to put it.
So people are used to eating Kahlua pig and everything else we might mention with rice, at least rice, if not all those other things I mentioned. And the thing is that it just doesn't need it. Kahlua pig itself is perfectly keto, especially when you are eating those fattier cuts of pig, I should say pork, those fattier cuts of pork, because they are the macro distribution is so perfect for keto. Mm. You're hitting, depending on what you kind of serve with it, you are hitting almost perfect macros for your traditional kind of keto distribution of macros. And it is absolutely delicious. So I just don't eat it with rice anymore. I almost always throw a fried egg on top.
Nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned cabbage. Is that traditionally something that's served with it? Is it? And how is that prepared?
It's steamed with it.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the traditional, then that's what I made last night for the first night was lau lau. Which
lau lau.
Is
Insta pot lau lau.
Was a lazy lau lau. And that's usually pork with a little bit of fish and a fat with taro leaves, luau leaves, which is the best way I can explain to you probably is like a kale.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Almost kind of a taste. It's more bitter. It's not spinach. It's a mix between spinach and kale.
Oh, nice.
Tasting. And then it's wrapped in a tea leaf and it's steamed. And so last night, the Instapot, in 90 minutes, I had a lazy lau lau and I posted it online. Kevin now has a bunch of followers with his keto Kanak Attack, which is that people have been working on that. And
with Brandy.
With 100 people liking it right away. Because it's like, and it wasn't people who are normally keto or they're interested, but all of a sudden they found they're starting to see things that we like. By the way, the cauliflower rice, not always popular in Hawaii because they really want the real rice.
Yes, so, that's a hard one.
But they were really excited just making it fried rice like we would have it here in Hawaii.
That's a good way I've found of just making it more palatable. I mean, I'm not averse to cauliflower, but plain cauliflower rice is a bit...
Yeah, it just tastes like cauliflower. Exactly.
But you fry it with some whatever dish you're making, but adding herbs and spices and seasoning, soy sauce, whatever goes with the dish you're making, and it does soak up flavors, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I found you can make a delicious fried rice with it, actually.
So that's a popular breakfast in Hawaii, especially for Saturday Sundays is a fried rice plate. Usually, of course, it's white rice, and then you add like spam and maybe some other stuff like peas, carrots, and stuff like that too. And then that would be on the bottom of everything. And then you'd create a loco moco, which would also add a hamburger patty on top of that. And then an over easy egg, and you cover it all in gravy. So the fact that my wife found an excellent keto substitute for the fried rice is just phenomenal. That and the hamburger patty, and I'm good to go with an egg all over it.
Perfect.
Other things I really liked, a lot of our poke. You have either ahi or taco. Ahi, of course, the fish poke. And taco is octopus. Basically, it's like a raw, and you cut it up and mix it up. So that's another very popular local dish, and it's very keto-oriented, right, honey?
Mm-hmm. We'll get some of that with some seaweed wraps and put it around, and it makes a great dinner. The thing about Hawaii food, it's not just Hawaiian food.
Right.
But it's because we had the plantation system here in Hawaii for many, many years. There's a really heavy Asian influence with Korean, Japanese, Filipino, and then also Portuguese. So we have Portuguese sausage. And so we found a brand that we really like that doesn't really have a lot of sugar or carbs in that. And that's something you can buy at McDonald's, which we kind of laugh about because you can buy spam and Portuguese sausage at McDonald's.
It's a breakfast platter. Yeah, in Hawaii.
Breakfast platter. But I found that there's a lot of low-carb eating through Japanese food. a lot of kimchi and fermented food through the Korean foods that we mix in. And so that's the beauty of putting together a keto diet here in Hawaii is the Asian recipes. Kevin found lechon from a Filipino. It's like a pork belly that's really crispy with a great sauce. It doesn't have sugar inside.
That's my favorite, so, Amy.
Oh, my goodness, girl. I'm getting so hungry right now, ladies. I'm full, too. Excuse the drool. Sorry.
But the thing is, like they were talking about food in Hawaii, is why do we have this population of Hawaiians who are so overweight is because they added all these carbs that don't need to be there. And so once we take that section out, we were able to find, Kevin was able to post online a whole bunch of local places of local food. And so one of the people who posted this week is like, I can't believe how many local plates there are that are keto. And he's like, yes, there are. If you just know what to ask for when you get to the counter, you can make it happen.
Yeah. That's right.
You just basically just got to do some homework and just, you know, Google it. I believe it was Brandy that was telling me about that. You know, do your little homework and you can Google a lot of keto-friendly dishes out there in Hawaii. Other things like L&L is a popular local plate lunch place over here too. I'd always show up and get like a garlic ahi plate and then instead of the rice and mac salad, all toss salad with ranch dressing. They also have an excellent barbecue chicken plate. Lao Lao on Lao Lao and Kalua pig plate, even going out to other restaurants too. So let's see, other than the Wendy's and McDonald's, you know, of course, you know, the fast food sides where you could just basically do without the bun and hold the ketchup and keep out any other sugary items, switch everything to unsweetened iced teas. But even like there's an Italian restaurant, Buca di Beppo. So I was going there for my niece's first birthday and I just did the research online and I found out that, oh yeah, I can get this huge garden salad that had all kinds of, you know, fresh vegetables and everything. I had some salami added to it and then went with the chicken limon, lemon chicken. The meatball, they said it was just a meat in the ball, but I don't know if they added any bread or anything, but it was so delicious. Yeah. I skipped all the pasta parts, you know, and went with the marinara. But the biggest thing I loved is like, you know, with keto, you know, you're going to have a plate lunch of food. Well, you know, what's more important, the barbecue chicken or the rice or mac salad? Well, the barbecue chicken is. So get rid of those. Just eat a salad with it, you know. Mm. What's more important, the garlic ahi? Go with the garlic ahi, you know. So, yeah, there's
the
a lot of great
chicken
local foods.
He's talking about is more of a Hawaii recipe that's not that sugary barbecue Midwestern, you know. And that was the hardest part about doing keto in Hawaii is that when I went online to start doing research, all the recipes were made for people who live in other states that don't have the same diet as people in Hawaii. Hawaii is, like I said, very Asian-based in its food, very Pacific Island. And everything I was finding, like cracked chicken from the Midwest. And you know, it was like the same thing over and over again, or what they thought should be Chinese food, which is not even the same Chinese food in Hawaii.
No.
And so it was a real struggle just to find recipes that really matched. But once we started finding them, then it really started to come together. And that's what people in Hawaii really want. And what we've been working on is now that we're into this, months into this, and we found our recipes, we've tried about what we like, people are just like, can you please share them? Something that they're so excited just to get something that's what they're used to eating. And they're having the same problems we are. And Brandy's been really inspiring and kind of telling us what works for Hawaii. Even in a conversation last night, someone says, can I still eat poi? And my answer was no.
I thought it was no
as
well.
I'm still new to keto. And poi, I look at that and all I see is carbs.
Carbs.
But she was able to break it down on how it can be done so that it fits in with
the
keto
fermented
and
side,
it can remain the diet.
Yeah. Poi, Daisy, poi is taro root.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's pounded taro root into a paste or a pudding, and you eat it on the side. They put a little bit of sugar into poi and give it to babies. That's sometimes first foods. Babies, we call them keiki.
Keiki. That's what me and John had. I'm sure we had little poi babies.
That's right. And then if you continue to eat your poi with sugar as an adult, you will be ridiculed.
Savagery.
Yes. But it is fermented. And so, you know, taro root is somewhat high in carb. It is also high in fiber and has a lot of beta carotene. There's a lot of, with straight taro root, there's a lot of nutritional benefit. It can support good immune system, all that stuff. It is, however, in its natural form, not keto. Mm. It is a high carb, a root vegetable.
Right.
Roots, but when it's vegetable. Pounded into poi, right, correct. When it's pounded into poi, that first day it's named kind of, it's called sweet poi. And that's because it still contains those natural sugars that are present. But as it gets a few days older, a couple days older, a few days older, it'll start to taste a little more tangy. And after even a few more days, it'll start to get fizzy. I don't like the fizzy stuff. My grandfather.
I don't like the fizzy stuff. No, fizzy. Yeah.
My grandfather was 100% Native Hawaiian, and wow. I will never forget. He always had this bubbling, fizzy bowl of poi sitting on his side table next to his chair, and he would stick two fingers in that thing.
That's the way to eat it. Two fingers.
Too much.
Too fizzy.
But I do like it to be, you know, fermented a couple of days. And so I was just explaining on Amy and Kevin's group that when we ferment food, you know, it lowers the carb count because the bacteria, the healthy probiotic bacteria that's growing is in fact converting those very sugars and carbs into that probiotic material for your body. So not only is the carb count lower, but it actually becomes an agent to help our blood glucose and to support our immune system. They think that it might improve cognition. They know that it creates a good, happy gut biome. So our digestive system is in good shape. And so like poi and kimchi and all these fermented foods are so good for us. And even though they may have started out as high carb foods, that anybody with a metabolic illness, insulin resistance, diabetes really wants to stay away from. Once it's fermented, it really becomes a superfood. And I think I said in my post, I never had a serving of poi that didn't make me feel like $1 million.
Right. I miss poi so much. That is such awesome news.
Yeah. Just don't eat the fresh one. Don't eat the sweet poi, Kevin. You'll be fine.
Well, not a problem. Yeah, your knowledge is incredible.
I remember watching a program about different diets around the world, and it was one of those, you know, countdown type programs where they were rating which were allegedly the healthiest diets in the world. But one of the ones that came up near the top was the Korean diet. And one of the reasons they were saying that they thought was one of the reasons why the Koreans were pretty healthy was that they tended to have some kimchi with pretty well fermented every meal. Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
And they actually, I was reading a study, or it wasn't a study, it was an article, that they are completing studies about, you know, why places like South Korea and Germany are seeing maybe lower rates of COVID. They're finding that it's because those fermented foods that they eat so much, kimchi, sauerkraut, things like that. I know that I'm not saying this properly, and I don't want to completely misrepresent the data, but there's something that happens that COVID attaches in our lungs to something. And fermented foods work within our system to negate the possibility, like it can't attach itself to the lungs as readily.
Interesting.
Our cells and enzymes within our lungs are not such a ready and willing host for the virus. And so, I mean, they don't know that that's what's going on, of course, at this point, but that's what they suspect.
No, but you can see why, there would potentially be at least a correlation between people who include fermented vegetables probably in their daily diet, if not multiple times a day. So that constant drip, drip of that food in their diet.
That's right.
That's very interesting.
That's right. Well, and Amy, you know, the thing is that back to the poi for just one second, you know, you may never choose to eat something that is root vegetable base again, just based upon the way you choose to carry out your ketogenic diet. For me, for instance, I eat sweet potato once a month. It's usually steamed. I can be persuaded to eat a sweet potato French fry, but I will eat sweet potato, and that is not keto. It's got pretty darn high carbs, but I have had some hormonal health changes, or, you know, I'm aging.
Right.
All right. That, we'll just say it.
You're not alone, girl. You're not alone.
You're not alone.
We're aging. And so, you know, I worked with my doctor to add in some hormonal support foods that are not necessarily keto. And I am just able to keep it at, at a level that it does not impact my metabolism negatively. It does not impact my weight negatively, but I still get that hormonal support from the beta carotenes and the phytoestrogens in certain foods that aren't necessarily keto, but I just keep it to like once a month. And some people can never do that. Some people choose never to do that. And the beauty and sometimes the devil in keto is that we all must do this our own way.
Yes, I agree with that.
Mm. And that's why I'm still learning. That's just like a teacher would. And, you know, we never know everything, and we learn. And when new information comes out, we do that. And that's what me and Kevin, we're still in those stages of learning from those who've forged forward like you guys have. And
yeah, like you ladies have forged the path.
Well, and it changes anyway. There's so much to learn at the beginning, but that never stops. It just keeps on going because you evolve with your diet. And it changes.
Yes.
So, you know, what was necessary or what you liked, what worked best at the start is invariably going to be different a year down the line, 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line. So,
and then we change too.
Always need to develop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, I'm right at that entering menopause. Mm. And I'm going to have to change my diet again and change what I'm doing to deal with those changes in my body, which my husband has no idea what's happening. It's just, but I accept that. And thanks for saying that, because that's really how this has worked for us, is that if I was doing this by myself, I don't think I'd be where I am right now. Because even when I was really frustrated, like for weeks, I'd plateau. And one day he's like, you got this. You don't worry about it. You know, as long, you're just improving your health. And that's what keto is. It's really not weight loss. That is, if that's your whole goal is just to lose weight and look good in a swimsuit, you're not going to be able to maintain what you're doing, is my thought. You have to be doing it for yourself, mm-hmm. not for other people to be looking at you. So Kevin is always such a great support system for me. And that's why, like, mm-hmm. he'll come in. Because at one point, he felt bad and didn't want to tell me how much weight he had lost. Because he was seeing success on the scale. And and I was like, how'd you do today? And he would be like, mm-hmm. I'm okay. I'm like, no, really, how'd you do today? And then he'd tell me, and I'm like, high five. I'm like, good for you.
Thank you, honey.
I didn't have the success today of losing anything, you know, I'm still doing what I'm doing. But I can still cheer him on. I'm not going to tear him down. I'm not going to sabotage him. He deserves his support, full support, because he does the same thing for me.
Aw, love you, honey.
Ah, I appreciate him.
It's such a common thing to see that. I've seen it so many times with, you know, a husband and wife team. It's always the man, pretty well always. I think I can pretty well say always loses the weight a lot faster. But often what happens actually, it's the old tortoise and hare.
Yes.
You know, the woman catches up. It just takes a lot longer. But you know, if you look at the bigger picture and you go back and revisit that team a few years down the line, you'll probably find that it's balanced out.
Right.
It's just how fast it happens. And I completely understand how frustrating that is for the
Sorry,
female
ladies.
Side.
I love you, ladies. You know I do.
But what it came down to on this keto journey, Kevin is the one who needed to have the quickest reaction.
Mm.
He was the one that, with Hawaiians, a lot of Hawaiians pass away at an early age. It is so common to lose many Hawaiians around the age of 60. And he's getting up really close to that age, to the point where I could lose him if we don't make a change. And so
it needed to be quick.
My goal was not weight loss for him. I want to know the blood test, the results for that.
A1C.
That's what really
test.
Matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm. No, really.
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of thinking about, you know, my main concern is diabetes. And, you know, I just really see it as an insidious kind of epidemic. I put a lot of thought into diabetes as a topic. And I think it's probably because I am part Native Hawaiian. I'm Hapa Hawaiian. And, you know, I know that 9% of America has been diagnosed with diabetes. That's 30 million people. Yet in Hawaii, in indigenous populations and populations of color and ethnic minorities, those rates are more prevalent than in whites. In Hawaii, everything, if you want to kind of take a look at where America could go in its extreme, you only have to look at Hawaii. That's just my perspective. Hawaii is a great kind of illustration of where things like income inequality and ethnic health disparities, you can really kind of see how far we can push those things if you look at Hawaii. You know, I've taken down some numbers, and the Hawaiian population is almost 1.7 million people, residents in Hawaii. 23% of those of that population is Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders, and 12% of Native Hawaiians, 12.8% of Native Hawaiians are diabetic.
Wow.
14.9% of other Pacific Islanders are diabetic. Whites, Caucasian people make up almost 23% of the population, yet they only 5% of those people have diabetes in the state of Hawaii. The total population for Japanese is 16.3%, yet their diabetes rates are 13.6%. Filipinos make up 17.2% of the total population, yet their diabetes rates are even higher than Native Hawaiians at 13% even. The Chinese population makes up 6.8% of the total population, of the total demographic, and they are at 10%. So there are real ethnic and racial disparities, and it's a problem. It is an epidemic, and I spend a lot of time thinking about that, and it is so that's why I think that it is our responsibility to kind of pay it forward and talk about with people how we can change our own lives one person at a time. We can make healthy populations of people. You know, the food industry is not coming to save us.
No way.
They're incentivized to keep us sick. The agricultural industry is not coming to save us. The government and the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry is not coming to save us. We are on our own. So we have to stick together, you know, and we have to teach each other what it means to fuel our bodies effectively and so we can live long lives and not be kind of wiped off the planet.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
What do you think is the key component of getting people on board? From what I've heard, from what you've both been saying, both Brandy's approach with you guys, but also what you've found people have been interested in is, I mean, it's obvious when I say it this way, but giving people what they want, giving people what they're familiar with. I think a lot of people, when you mention keto, the first thing that they say is, oh, but I'd have to give up this or I'd have to give up that. And it's
rice.
Often a favorite
rice is a big one,
comfort
right?
staple. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's usually high carb. For Brits, it's usually bread, potatoes, you know, they're the things I couldn't dream about giving those up. And that's the focus straight away. So what I'm picking up from you is that you don't even necessarily, you don't focus on that. What your focus is on, look what you can have.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
All these delicious foods that are part of your daily life, a part of the whole, that comfort zone that you've grown up with. So it's familiar and it's comfortable and it feels like home. What you're showing with your posts and with sharing with people is, look, you can have that. You bring people in with that and then say, yeah, but by the way, you might need to think about removing some of these things, but I'm going to grab you with those first.
No, that's exactly what I just did. Somebody had posted something and they had put in multiple things that were just really high carb. I said, look what I made. I'm like, well, great job and thanks for sharing. But, you know, if you just took out those carrots and noodles.
It had noodles. Oh, no.
But, you know, and here's where it's different compared to other places. Hawaii is really about sharing food and sharing multiple different ethnic types of foods together.
Luaus and get-togethers.
Our meetings are always about food. Even at school, we all bring, all the teachers bring their food and share. It's like almost a potluck of everything.
Potluck.
Which makes it really hard for a COVID atmosphere. But all of our family meetings and everything is around food. And so if we can put the foods that are healthy for us, like just like we were talking earlier, we went to a family party and our aunt, our auntie Yvonne, she knew that the three of us were doing or starting keto. And so she made sure that the food fit so we weren't singled out and said, oh, you can't eat our food. She just figured out what we could eat. And so that's a goal, is also not telling people, I can't eat that. It's trying to figure out how can I eat that and how can I eat with you? Because we have to be able to eat together in our culture. Mm. We have to be able to share and not ostracize ourselves by saying, oh, I'm on keto. I can't eat that. I can't be with you. And so it's about educating ourselves too. And knowing how we can continue to have those relationships with food. Because that's really what it is. It's a relationship with food in Hawaii. And that's why I think you said we're all foodies. We are all foodies. And we like a lot of different food. And me and Kevin travel a lot. I've been to 36 countries. And everywhere we go, when we plan our trips, Kevin's planning what foods we're going to eat when we get there.
I've been food and beer and wine, you know. So I want to eat, drink, and be merry.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share, and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowomen. Or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman Podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman Podcast Instagram and Facebook pages and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from an unknown author. Be the aloha you wish to see in the world. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.